Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board. It is 8:43 p.m. Eastern Time on July 29, 2020. And I would like to ask the secretary to call the roll.
Okay. Grace Aaron, KPFK listener, is here. Robin Collier from KCEI
present.
Affiliate. Good. Chris Corey, KPFA listener. Vanessa
here.
Dixon Briggs, WPFW listener.
Here.
Grace, I'm here. Sorry.
Good. Lyndon Foley, KPFT listener. Jan Goodman, KPFK listener. Heather Gray, WRFG affiliate.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs. Good. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA staff.
Here.
Good. Wally James, KPFT staff.
Here.
All right. Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener.
Present.
All right. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff.
Here.
Good. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener.
Here.
Good. Sandra Rowland, KPFT listener.
Here.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener.
Here.
All right. Sean Rhodes, WBAI staff.
Here.
Good. Eileen Rosin, WPFW listener.
Here.
Okay, James Sagerton, WBAI listener.
Here.
Okay, Nancy Sorden, WPFW listener. Alex Steinberg, WBAI listener.
Present.
Okay, Andrea Turner, KPFA listener. Polina Vasiliev, KPFK staff.
Here.
Good. Tom Voorhees, KPFA listener.
Tom is here.
Good. I'll go through the listener, the board again. Lyndon Foley, KPFT listener. Jan Goodman, KPFK listener. Nancy Sorden, WPFW listener. Andrea Turner, KPFA listener. Okay. Lydia Brazone, Interim Executive Director, are you here? Okay. Anita Sims, Interim Chief Executive, Chief Financial Officer?
Here.
Are you on the... Good. Arthur Schwartz, Pacifica Council. John Tatum, Parliamentarian.
I'm here.
Good. Then we have three guests, but they were not scheduled to arrive until 6 o'clock, although I believe Barry Brooks is here. I'll call their names anyway. Aniel Fields, KPFK General Manager. Barry Brooks, KPFK Business Manager.
Present.
Good. Fred Blair, KPFK Treasurer. All right. I believe Aniel Fields and Fred Brooks will be here at 6. We have one, two, three. We have 18 members present, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
Okay, so we have a quorum. Thank you, Madam Secretary. The next item is excused absences. Do we have any requests for an excused absence?
Yes, Andrea Turner requested an excused absence because she has to work tonight.
Okay. Anybody else? Do we have a motion to excuse Andrea Turner's absence?
Polina, so moved.
Okay. Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. Seeing no objections, that motion passes. Andrea Turner's absence is excused. Next item is identify timekeepers. Do we have any volunteers for keeping time? We need somebody.
I'll keep
for
time on the items, Chair. This is Lawrence.
Item. Okay, thank you, yeah. Lawrence. And how about people? 90 seconds per person.
James, I'll do the people.
Thank you, James. Next item is a report from the Secretary on the three bylaws amendments. Madam Secretary, could you please give your report?
Yes, I'd like to say that the National Board of Pacifica approved three bylaws amendments, and also three of our local station boards, WBAI, WPFW, and KPFK, approved all three bylaws amendments. The first one had to do with, I believe that one of them had to do with adding Inc. to the Pacifica Foundation name so that the name in our bylaws could be consistent with the name in our articles of incorporation. The second bylaws amendment makes it easier to amend the bylaws by shortening the process and making it a little bit more streamlined. The third bylaws amendment increases the quorum for a member-initiated bylaws amendment process through a petition process. The original the thresholds for the number of petitions was raised from 1% of the entire membership to 5%. That also passed. So all three of those bylaws amendments are now part of our bylaws, and the revised bylaws can be viewed at pacifica.org, as well as a report of the certification.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Okay, the next
timekeeper. You have 30 seconds remaining on this agenda item.
We're done with it. Okay. The next item is agenda approval. And let me read the draft agenda for the benefit of those listening. Agenda approval is a 5-minute item, then followed by minutes approval, a 3-minute item, followed by an IED report, and that's in two parts. And part one is suggesting a motion regarding safety protocols relating to COVID-19, and part two is an update on our EIDL loan application. In total, that's 15 minutes for that item. The next item is a progress report from the KPFK General Manager, Business Manager, and Treasurer. That's a 45-minute item. And after that, we will be adjourning the open session.
Dwayne Lark seeks to be recognized.
Hold on. We first need a motion to approve the draft agenda before we could discuss it. And we have such a motion?
So moved.
Can we have a second?
Second, Lawrence.
Okay. Mr. Lark, did you want to speak to the agenda?
Mr. Reyes submitted a agenda item prior to the meeting, as I earlier referred to. He may be able to, it's in the record to the secretary, so it's just not on the agenda. I would like it added at the 3A position.
What is the item?
The item is a motion to populate the
Dwayne, would you like me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay,
go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. Move that the coordinating committee be comprised of with one director from each station and the foundation officers. Submitted sometime in the afternoon today.
I request that be placed on the agenda at item 3A.
Okay. Do we have a second for that?
Paulina seconds.
Okay.
This is Grace with a request for information.
What is your request for information?
I believe that motion was decided on in the coordinating committee last Thursday, and that it was meant to be placed on the next regular meeting of the PNB, which the next regular meeting is next Thursday. Is that incorrect?
This is
a motion coming from that committee, I believe. The motion was made by Ron Pinchback,
Mr. Pinchback, could you comment on that?
It was my understanding that the agenda item would be included on the next regularly scheduled PNB meeting. And if I'm not mistaken, this is not the regularly scheduled PNB meeting. And so so that was my understanding, which that meeting occurs next Thursday, the regularly scheduled meeting. If I'm in error there, somebody correct me, but that was my understanding.
Dwayne Lark has been requested to be recognized.
Mr. Lark, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Since I chair the meeting, I'd like to give my understanding. I also would like for anyone to bring forth a record of such motion that the committee put forth, which was none, because the meeting was canceled, because there was a contention that the meeting was not in order for several reasons. So it's impossible for a motion to have came out of that meeting, and it is in order for this item to be placed on this agenda for that reason.
Well, I don't think anyone's arguing that the motion is out of order. It's just a question of whether the circumstances behind the motion are as you represent them or not.
Well, Mr. Chair, I didn't say nor did I allude to anything being out of order. I stated that this was in order, because the earlier comment was that it was said or stated that a motion was made to have it at the next regularly meeting. And I am emphatically pointing out that no motions were approved, because that basically didn't happen.
Okay, let's cut through this. We can vote to put this on the agenda regardless of what happened on the coordinating committee. At this point, you're submitting it as a motion from Mr. Reyes. It's not a motion from a committee. So it is,
Chair,
it is an order. It is an order to try to add this motion to the agenda, if that's what you want to do.
Well, Mr. Chair, I want to be
Chair,
very
this
clear.
Is Lawrence.
Mr. Reyes, if you would allow me, because
yes.
I did push this forward, and I do want the body to understand. That's not my dog. So if Mr. Pinchback and other members of this body do not want to deal with this tonight, I'm not going to push it. It could very well be deferred to the next meeting. But I know the understanding I had, and one of the reasons why we ought to have this done is why we're discussing why this needs to go on. If we had a calling committee, it would already be on the agenda. We wouldn't have this discussion, these type of discussions.
Okay, Mr. Reyes, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say something really briefly. I believe that motion was intended to be made, but it was not made during the coordinating committee. And so that's the reason I proposed the motion, because the motion was not contained, it was not passed, there was no resolution in regards to Mr. Pinchback's intention to make the motion. It was never made. So that's why I'm hoping that if we could, I believe we could just vote this up or down.
Excuse me, Lawrence.
And
I got to correct you on that, man.
Hold on. Let me finish, Mr. Pinchback.
Let Lawrence finish, and then I'll give you a chance to respond. Go ahead.
Okay. So when the motion was asked for by the presiding chair at the time, Dwayne Lott, there was no motion made. That's what I recall. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not subject to being correct.
Mr. Pinchbeck?
Yes, no, you are correct about that. There was no motion made, okay? However, the reason that motion was not made is because the motion was for the entire TNB to be involved in selecting the process for populating that committee. And the question I had put before, and I had put to you, Dwayne, was that did the committee at that time had a power to vote up or down such a motion, and it was determined that it didn't have, you know, that authority at that time. And so the motion wasn't made because it was my intent, and I stated that in that meeting, that I wanted to present that to the entire board at the next regularly scheduled meeting. And that's where we left it. That was my understanding. So, you know, at the next regularly scheduled meeting, you know, it was my intention to present my motion, you know, to the board, as I said I would, during that call. So that's
all right, Chair, we don't have the time for this item.
Okay. Let me just see. What is your point of personal privilege?
Well, my point of personal privilege is, Mr. Pinchbeck is absolutely correct, but I also would ask Mr. Pinchbeck, as I recall, that it was his original intention to put forth a very similar, if not the same, motion that is on the table tonight with respect to limiting the amount of individuals on the agenda, I mean, on the said committee. So I say that in closing, that I have no dog in this hunt. I wish we would go to a vote. If the members feel that they don't want to take care of this tonight, we can defer it as was originally stated, but I don't see any reason to go back and forth about this any further.
Okay. The motion was introduced by Mr. Reyes. Did it receive a second? I don't recall that we got a second on this motion.
You Ms. got a second from Paulina.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's just put it to the board. What is the point of order, Ms. Goodman?
I thought this was a special meeting, and I thought that special meetings were limited to whatever it was that was posted on the, you know, posted as the agenda when the special meeting was posted. I don't care one way or the other. I think that this is a, you know, reasonable thing for the coordinating committee, but I am concerned that we keep adding things to special meetings, and I thought we were supposed to be just dealing with whatever was posted. Can Mr. Tatum or somebody address this question?
I believe you are correct, Ms. Goodman. We are supposed to stick to the topics that were noticed for this special meeting. I don't believe coordinating committee issues were one of the items that was noticed. So I'm gonna rule this out of order for this special meeting. It could be brought up at the next regular meeting, of course. Mr. Tatum, would you concur with that? Mr. Tatum?
Mr. Chair, point of order.
What is your point of order?
Well, Mr. Chair, I took the liberty, before I spoke, of looking on kpftx.org, and this meeting is styled as a regular meeting. This meeting is not styled nor posted.
It's not a regular meeting. The only regular meetings are the ones that are on the first Thursday of the month, Mr.
Well, what is published is what is published. Is what is the record, Mr.
It's
Chair,
not a regular meeting. It's a special meeting.
Chair, point of information,
Lawrence. It is published as a regular meeting.
It's not a regular meeting. What is your request for information?
So my question, Chair, is that if this motion is ruled out of order, would it carry over to, or can it be put as a carryover to the regularly scheduled meeting next week?
Yeah, but, well, let me clarify. At the regular scheduled meeting, there are no restrictions as to what you can place on the agenda. The restrictions apply when we call a special meeting, and whatever is added to the agenda has to be within the topic, whatever the special meeting is supposed to be about. And this one, I believe, is primarily about KPFK's finances.
Mr. Chair, this is John Tatum.
Yes,
when
Mr.
Tatum. You called my name earlier, and I went to push the unmute button, and I hung myself up. I hung up the phone. So
sorry
I'm
about
back
that.
On. I do remember the question that you brought up, and I do remember what Jan Goodman said, and both of you are correct. If the item has not been noticed for the special meeting, then you cannot put it on the agenda. And so you're stating everything correctly, Mr. Chair, that at a regular meeting, things can be brought up in this way, but not at a special meeting. Both of you are correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
Mr. Chair, Jan Goodman, may I be recognized further on this point?
Yes, Ms. Goodman.
Yes. Also, while we're on this point, item 4A of the ED's report regarding a motion regarding safety protocol. It seems out of order for this meeting. If it's an emergency or something, maybe that's okay. Because it's COVID, but I just want to be consistent and just to note that also seems out of order.
Let me just respond to that. I think that's a little different because that's just part of the IED's report. There's no motion that I'm aware of relating to that. And,
it's a suggested motion.
This is Lydia.
Sorry about that.
I know this is an emergency, Alex. This is Grace.
Can we hear? Just trying to get up and be consistent. You are correct. We should try to be consistent. Lydia, is this an emergency? Can you comment on that?
What is the emergency? I just got on. Is what an emergency?
It's been suggested that...
Motion.
Can I explain? Thank you. It's been suggested that the item in your report relating to the safety rules for COVID-19 is out of order because it wasn't covered by the topics that were posted for this special meeting. But I think we may allow that if this is something that we can consider an emergency that cannot wait.
No, you can eliminate my whole report. At least I was going to correct something else, but I could do that again another time. Not a big deal, because I'm going to run this by attorneys first anyway.
So this can wait until the regular meeting.
I don't have a motion for you. This is just going to be an IED report. Okay. But just eliminate the whole report. So, I'm fine.
So we can do that at the regular meeting next week then. Correct?
That's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dwayne Lark. I seek to be recognized.
Mr. Lark?
Yes,
sir. Do you have a question?
I'm going to reluctantly challenge your ruling on this matter, and I'll reserve the argument for my ability to speak on the ruling, because I believe that even in the description of the meeting, that is inconsistent with your ruling, notwithstanding the fact that it is posted as a general regular meeting, and for CPB purposes and all other being consistent, as the member point out, if we're going to be consistent, we need to be consistent. So when we improperly note something or improperly post something, then we have to live with it.
Okay, so you're challenging my ruling.
Hold on, I just want to see how this meeting was posted.
Okay. I'll be glad to read it to you since I have it.
Board review of KPFK finances, committee reports, other financial issues. Okay.
Other pending don't stop there. Other pending agenda items, which would have been definitely a pending item for populating the coordinating committee.
All I see is board review of KPFK finances, committee reports, other financial issues. You see something else?
Yes, sir. I'm looking at KPFTX.org, and I went into the place where you would cite why you're calling the meeting, and it reads, board review of KPFK finances, comma, committee reports, comma, other financial issues, comma, which would include the IED, other pending agenda items, comma, et cetera, meeting. So there are no restrictions on this meeting, and it shouldn't be because it was posted as a general meeting in the first place.
I'm sticking to my ruling. Your interpretation would mean that we could pretty much do anything we want at this meeting. I don't think that's quite true.
Chair, request for information.
What is your request,
Chair, request for information? Yeah, I have a concern with that too, because when you're alluding to the fact that there's going to be committee reports, I had submitted a report in regards to the COVID-19 PNB task force, a report to the whole board, and it's saying committee report, so that's out of the ordinary of what will be held in a special meeting. So am I in the ballpark?
Committee reports can be introduced at this meeting, but we have, they are currently not included in the draft agenda. It would certainly be in order to include them. I think they were not included because we have some priorities we want to deal with, and it was felt that we can do the committee reports at the next meeting.
This is Grace for the stack.
Grace.
Yeah, I would like to do committee reports and to populate the coordinating committee. I think they're important, but we have extremely important and urgent business to do tonight, both in open and closed session. I'd also like to say that I sent all the officers, including Dwayne Lark, the draft agendas on Monday. And it's at any time, Dwayne could have requested, and we could have discussed, placing the population of the coordinating committee on the agenda. I did speak to Lawrence Reyes, and he agreed that the report on the COVID task force could be delayed until next week. So it's not that we shouldn't take up these items, it's just that we really have very pressing issues to deal with tonight. And because the coordinating committee is not fully functional, it was the job of the chair and the vice chair and the secretary, in coordination with the interim executive director, to determine the agenda, which we did do finally last night together. I believe Dwayne, I don't know if Dwayne was on that call or invited to that call, but he did receive several times the draft agendas and could have made his case to the chair and the secretary before this meeting tonight.
Mr. Chair, personal privilege.
And what is your point of personal privilege?
Well, since my name was called and since it's somewhat of an admonishment, I would say that this is exactly the reason. Again, this is the second time I've said this on this call tonight. This is exactly the reason why we need to have a coordinating committee. So these arguments couldn't be made, and then one person could not arbitrarily make the decision of whether something was supposed to go on the agenda, notwithstanding the fact, the misunderstanding that there was a motion made at a previous meeting by which I chaired. So I had to be there for the record, for her record. But for the sake of time, But for the sake of time and for the sake of reasonability, I just want to be on the record, Mr. Chair, for CPB purposes, that to note that I'm not in agreement that this meeting was described as a regularly scheduled meeting on our website, and we're handling it as a special meeting, but I'm willing, because I haven't heard but one person who support my position. So for the sake of time, I'm going to withdraw my challenge, and let's just go ahead and do things the way we want to do them, notwithstanding in order, properly and in order. So I withdraw my objection.
Okay, thank you.
I object.
Timekeeper, Chair.
Okay. Yes, we're out of time on this item, right?
We've been out of time, and people should mute when they don't have the floor, Chair.
You're correct on that, too. Okay, unless somebody wants to extend time for the agenda approval, we have to just vote on the agenda at this point. Does anybody want to extend time, or should we just vote on the agenda? Okay, we're going to just vote on the agenda. Let me just repeat what is in the draft agenda. There's agenda approval, there's minutes approval, there's the IED report, there's a progress report from the KPFK general manager, business manager, and treasurer regarding PNB resolution that KPFK expenses be reduced by at least 30%. And that's it for the open session, then we adjourn. Are there any objections to the draft agenda?
Chair,
yes.
I don't have an objection. I have a correction. The guests are listed as Anil Fields, Barry Brooks, and Fred Brooks. I believe that it should be Fred Blair, just so that could be reflected in the minutes.
Oh, thank you.
On the agenda.
Okay. And we do apologize for that typing error. Okay. Anyway, since there are no objections, the draft agenda is approved. So the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the open session of July 16, 2020. Are there any corrections anybody has to offer for those minutes?
Mr. Chair,
yes?
I'd like to say that Sean Rhodes, who's very helpful with looking over my minutes, did find a few errors. And I did correct them and sent a corrected version of the minutes just about a half hour ago to the entire board.
Okay. Did everybody get the corrected version of the minutes?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I did.
So I did as well. Okay, so let's move on. Seeing if there are no further corrections, and so now we're accepting the corrected version of the minutes, and if there are no further corrections to those, and again they can always be added to later. Those minutes are accepted, and let's just move on. The next agenda item is the report from the interim executive director. Lydia, go ahead.
15 minutes, Chair.
We canceled that. If you recall, Alex, I'm sorry. This is Grace. Can I have the floor? Or
yes.
Lydia said that she didn't need to take this up tonight, and her report, that she'll wait until next week.
Can I just confirm that with Lydia? Is that correct, Lydia?
Yes, you asked me if that motion was pressing on the procedures, and I said no, because I've been a by attorney.
But not
her. Is there anything else you wanted to make a presentation on, or do you want to defer
I could just very briefly update on the EIDL application, but I thought I came after KPFK. Am I looking at the wrong agenda?
No, you come before the KPFK.
Oh, that was moved?
Well, we could, yeah. I mean,
it was moved. Okay.
I'm just looking at the agenda that we got, and that's what it says right here.
Oh, okay, because the agenda I'm looking at says I'm number 5 on the agenda, but okay, if it was moved.
Nancy, with a point of order.
What is your point of order, Nancy?
We approved the agenda with the IED report. Lydia was referring to before was a motion, not her IED report, not canceling her IED report. I hope we stick to what we just approved.
I believe you're correct. Lydia,
it's no problem. Okay, yeah. So I won't go into then the what we had decided on the policy with COVID anyway. That's going to be next week. Just briefly is that I've received a lot of questions about the EIDL loan. So for some reason, for those who have kept up with me, you know, with the dozens and dozens of calls that I've made, the notes, everybody has confirmed and reconfirmed that our case has been escalated, which means to make us to regard the WBAI effort as duplicate and have us as primary since we received the $10,000 deposited to the correct account, which is our Pacifica Foundation, Inc. account. And so that's kind of where I left off. So then in trying to make more calls last week, SBA has, like, shut down in terms of being able to speak to anyone. They said, oh, it would be, like, 2 or 3 days, so I keep calling back. And my last call was that it might be by the end of the week, if not by next week. Meanwhile, I did send chronicled all of the details to Senator Kamala Harris's office, the person designated for this that I was referred to. And I don't have an update, but if they have to contact SBA and they get the same, that they're not taking calls. Now, the reason for not taking calls is there's this enormous backlog. That was what each of the agents that I had spoken to had said, and they had kept hoping that it was going to move forward. So, and I've heard that on the news as well. It's just tons and tons of cases that have not been processed. And just anecdotally, I also hear from other people who have been waiting for their EIDL loans and they haven't received them. So apparently, for whatever reason, there's this huge backlog. But I have not received any information that our application is in trouble or that they need more information. Each agent tells us that we've done it all. We've withdrawn the New York application. And so that's where we are. So again, nothing too new, except that every time I call, I have them confirm that all the steps that I've taken before actually happened, and I've now chronicled it all in writing to Senator Harris's office, and hopefully that will yield something. But we do not have to apply again. With PPP, we did simply because they had a particular process that is not applicable to EIDL, according to what the SBA has told me. So with PPP, when we had the duplicate application, once Bank of America withdrew their application, then we just made a new application with another bank, although they encountered the same thing with BAI, excuse me, but there was a different process by which you could withdraw the application. They got a hold of somebody at CBA where you could withdraw it, and the EIDL process is different in that regard. I asked when I started calling if it would be better for us to reapply, and they said, no, you don't want to lose your original application number, plus you received the $10,000 and so on and so forth. So all of the conditions of the first application are still true. I know there's a new wave of SBA possibility for application that's coming up that will have a different threshold for a loan amount, but that's not us. We applied on time April the 3rd. We received our money, our $10,000, April 28th. We have our application confirmed number, and so on and so forth. So it's a matter of dislogging the backlog. Okay, so that's about all.
All right, thank you, Lydia. We do have a few minutes for questions. If anybody wants to ask any questions, take a stack.
This is Dwayne Lark, but I'll reserve any conversation on this in our executive session.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, Jan Goodman.
Go ahead, Ms. Goodman.
I am wondering, I seem to recall that our kind of goal for this money if it comes in would be primarily to repay the big loan. Am I correct on that? Or was that some other money, or is that
no,
not
that's
committed
where,
with this?
That's the intent.
Okay. All right. And that's permitted with this loan application?
We certainly hope so. What we haven't had the opportunity to do, because we're waiting for that next step, is to upload all of our documents supporting that we have mortgage payments and so on and so forth. And mortgage payments are allowed. This is a 30-year loan, and those kinds of things. So by looking at the criteria that we knew at the time that we applied, that all of that seemed feasible.
Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. If not, then we'll go on to the next item on our agenda. Do we have the KPFK general manager on the call yet?
Yeah. Oh, hello? Yeah, this is Danielle.
Okay. Hello. Welcome, Mr. Fields. And as the business manager and treasurer of KPFK, are they also on the call?
Yes, present. Barry Brooks.
Okay. Is the treasurer on the call? Okay.
Chair, this is a 45-minute item.
This is a 45-minute item.
I'll try to get Fred Blair on the call.
Okay.
A point of order.
What is your point of order?
My point of order is, and I don't know if this is the time to say it, but it seems to me that us micromanaging a station seems out of order for us as a board to be doing, and so I question. It seems that this is something that the executive director should be in charge of, according to our bylaws and her job description. So I'm just wondering how it is that we, as a board, are involved in what looks to me like kind of micromanaging a station. And if we're going to start doing this, do we have a plan to do this with other stations?
I believe we will be going through examining in detail the financial situation of each of the stations. KPFK just happens to be the first one. Mr. Reyes, did you have something to say before we...
Yes, I do, Chair. It's not out of the ordinary for GM to provide a report to the board. The GM serves at the pleasure under the supervision of the IED, and the IED serves under the supervision of the PMB. Can somebody please kill the traffic? Thank you. It's not out of the ordinary, and I don't think this is micromanaging at all. I think this is communicating.
You are absolutely correct, Mr. Reyes. In fact, let me remind those board members who may recall when we used to have in-person meetings that we always had reports from the general managers, and often they would come to attend the in-person meetings themselves and provide reports about the situation at their particular station. So this is not new. It's just something that we haven't done in a while, and it's a good idea to resume that practice to hear from the general managers and review the finances of each of the stations. Okay, that being said, Mr. Fields, would you like to lead the discussion?
Sure. Well, let me start by giving a little bit of history on my tenure and the circumstances and situation. I walked
45
in.
45-minute item, Mr. Fields.
Got it. I'm going to keep it brief. When I started managing the station...
Please. Mr. Chair, I have Fred Blair patched in because Maestro hit the maximum, so he wasn't able to get in. But he's Fred, are you here now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. I'm sorry that I interrupted you, Aniel.
Okay. The reason why I want to give some context to the history of my tenure, of what I walked into and what we've been dealing with, what we've succeeded at resolving, and also that has bearings on our future and our current circumstances. So 2 or 3.5 years ago, I started managing the station. The station was just recovering from, terrible layoffs that were done inappropriately, in which there was litigation against the station. Also, there was a major grievance against Pacifica for not paying into employees' retirement plans. Station morale was low because of the way that the station was managed before, and many employees were returning back to work after having won the grievance with SAG-AFTRA and the station for the way that layoffs were handled before, prior to that. Also, I was walking into a situation where the station was behind on fulfilling premiums. The station was increasing its number of fund drive days and over-relying on fund drives. And a short way of describing the problems in membership, I wouldn't say by any means of the employees, but the various systems that they were working on that manages the donor database, processes the equipment and the software needed to process the fund drives, but also to receive and process donations outside of fund drive, as well as shipping premiums. This has been a big mess at the station, and it's caused a lot of problems that go back many years prior to my tenure, and I'd like to say about 10 years, to the point where the station has stopped doing basic donor stewardship practices that's common, not just in public media, but by all nonprofits. Two of the main important things that the station should have been regularly doing over the last 10 years is sending out renewal notices and doing end-of-the-year direct mailer, which is a big revenue time for all nonprofits, not just public media. The reason for that had been, according to my membership director, was one, the over-reliance on fund drives, not having time in between drives to do the standard practices of donor stewardship. And those are just two of the main ones that I'm mentioning. I haven't even talked about converting one-time donors into sustaining donors or a reoccurring donor on an annual basis. So these are some of the practices that have gone, or lack of doing these practices that have gone on for a long time and have exacerbated our circumstances and our situation today. And when I was hired, actually in my interview, one of the cornerstones of my interview, I said, I want to come back. I have a lot of love for the station. I will leave my job and come and work for KPFK. The one thing I want to do before my tenure is up is to overhaul membership and improve the membership experience. You ask any person that manages a nonprofit or is a development director, they say the most important factor in any nonprofit is its relationship with its donor. Not so much money is important, but the relationship is what brings the money, is what encourages a donor to give time and time again. We don't just want one-time donors, we want reoccurring donors and people that give annually or monthly.
One of the trends that we've seen in the data that we're able to see so far, and actually that's another problem that we had, is accessing some of the benchmark metrics in order to help dictate and shape the strategies that we need to employ, not just to raise funds on the air, but off the air, but also most importantly, as I said, is to build relationships with our donors. It is my understanding, as we've begun this membership overhaul last year, and I did send you guys a link that has more information on overhauling membership and expanding the membership's value as it is or as it has been. And so I'm very enthused that we were in the thick of it and moving over to Allegiance. Granted, the transition, the migration of data came at a time when COVID hit, so that did trip us up in terms of fundraising during the springtime. But we have adapted, and you know, as many of the reports you've seen, numbers were falling. We weren't raising the kind of numbers that we were, but we were operating, one, with our hand behind our back, but two, not being able to fundraise in the capacity that we have been able to. This actually presented a fortuitous moment for us. It actually gave me and my team, including volunteers and paid staff, the opportunity to seize upon putting the member at the center of our fundraising efforts and our pitch, which has not been done as a priority. And we spent time with programmers in training them, giving them the tools and the resources to enhance their pitches, which hasn't been done for several years. So we did an extended drive, not a hard fund drive as we traditionally do. We did a soft campaign for approximately, Barry, you might correct me on this, 70 days or six, not 70 days. Was it a month and a half?
Yeah, a month and a half.
So this fortuitous thing that happened from there is that it's given programmers the opportunity to practice. Sometimes it's a sink or swim deal. And this extended and prolonged drive did give some programmers an opportunity. And we've seen some of the results from it. Granted, it wasn't the numbers that we wanted to raise, but the engagement with the station has improved in terms of fundraising and communication and working together. But there are some programmers that actually benefited from doing that. And we've seen an improvement in their numbers as compared to other fund drives. Now, before I get into the economic and recovery plan, I do want to report that we did start our anniversary fund drive on Tuesday, and we're doing a lot better than what we did in the last drive. At this very moment, we have raised $51,904 and another $5,000 on our other platforms, which we're looking forward to shutting down those other platforms so we can just be on one platform. So the averages are encouraging. And now between these two drives, what we're seeing is we're pitching with premiums, but not as many premiums as we've done before. In a normal drive, we would offer 400 premiums, which caused a lot of problems, but also a lot of expenses. On an average year, we would spend $250,000 on premiums. If I had my druthers, I'd spend $125,000 on a news department that we desperately need resources in order to have a better or a deeper impact with our news services to Southern California. So in these last two drives, the trend that we're seeing with a different pitch, a stronger message, and working with programmers is that people are overwhelmingly contributing money to the station and electing not to take a premium. The last drive, it was approximately 60%. This drive is trending towards that, and I wouldn't be surprised if it would be more at the end of this drive. We are only going for 15 days. And after this 15 days, we will continue with a silent campaign. A silent campaign is no premium. It's just the programmer taking time to make a little pitch, especially after really great content or of a high-profile guest, reminding our listeners that we are supported by them and encouraging them to join our organization. Now, as I was talking with Barry in drafting this budget, and I believe we had a conversation with Netta about this, and I have talked to the board, the local station board about this too as well, is looking beyond just the fund drive days, because we got to look at the other important metrics, and I'll name some of those important metrics. How many members are in our donor database? We weren't able to accurately give an accurate number with the lab system. I can't give you that number today because we're in the final throes of our data migration, in which I will provide a deep dive data report on our current member base. The next important metric is retention rate. My instincts and from the data that I'm seeing is that we're below 50%. We've been below 50% for a number of years when we need to be somewhere close to 60%. Another important metric that most public media organizations have been thriving on is the percentage of active donors that are sustaining members. Now, as I've gone to webinars and I've done my research and kept abreast of industries, there's an important question. Would you rather get one donation for $120 or have a donor give you $10 a month for a year? Data shows, research shows, that person giving $10 a month is likely to give more during the lifetime of them being an active member for a nonprofit. So 2 years ago, we did start or revitalize what's called the Sustainer Circle, and we've just done this just online, rarely pitched it in fund drives, and we've been able to bring on board 350 donors, which bring in approximately $12,000 a month. We're looking to continue to grow that, and what we'll be doing in between fund drives is focusing on the sustainers and encouraging people to become sustainers. Now that we have enhanced tools and enhanced data, we'll be able to do it, to be able to talk to donors and set up programs to convert one-time donors into reoccurring donors, or at least once-a-year donors. And that's another important metric, is the conversion rate from one-time donors. One of the weaknesses to our previous fundraising practices with premium heavy is that you will see those donors only give once. Most of those donors only care about the products. They're not donating for Pacifica. They're not donating for KPFK. I've had this interaction with plenty of donors. And when these donors don't get their premiums, which they haven't, or is that we fall short of their expectations, which we have over a number of years, we see a high rate of donor attrition. And once we're able to really look at the data, from my understanding and my point of view, that has been one of the big problems of KPFK and a big influence on its finances. Now let's go to the budget. We were asked to create a budget, I believe, mid-June as we were wrapping up a fund drive. And we did provide what I call a preliminary budget a few days after the 4th of July weekend. We've all been busy, including myself, with conducting fundraisers, doing the EEO, applying for grants, and a number of other things that I'll spare you the details on. However, it's my very intention to work and deliver a budget as per the PMB's request with a 30% reduction. Now, before even going deeper into the budget, let's talk about the reduction. I did send you guys a timeline of what I've done towards reductions. Now, 3 years ago, Pacifica hired three executives at KPFK, including me, including the program director, and Christine Blaisdell. All of these were approved. I insisted on keeping Christine on. That was one of my decisions. And the interim executive director heard my case. Christine does bring in a lot of money, but she also brings a lot of other strengths too as well, and that is conducting events. And if you look over the last two fiscal years, or last fiscal year and a half, you'll see that our event income has gone up. But also she is very great and talented at creating partnerships. KPFK has lacked enough strategic partnerships, I feel, to have strengthened its a means of service and strengthen its means of raising revenue. So just to briefly go through the timeline, in my first year, I made one layoff. In the second year, I made another layoff. And then now, in December, when I did present a budget to the local station board, I did talk about workforce reductions and what the cost of that workforce reductions would be. My biggest conundrum at that time was, well, if we're looking at doing a 30% or even 15% budget or cut, which I did recognize that our finances weren't in order and we were headed in a different direction. And that's not by being asleep at the wheel, but we are working with what we had to do. So I did present that it would cost anywhere from $199,000 to $256,000. That was the ballpark range. Each layoff would cost approximately $26,000. We did not have that cash on hand. And cash flow has been one of our biggest problems and one of the reasons why we've been in perpetual fundraising mode for the last couple of years. And that, too, has, of course, exacerbated the problem. But we also have to look at what the station has had to endure the last few years in payments. We've had to pay into those pensions, which were not done as a means of recompense to our union members. We had to pay the Material World Foundation back, which was money that was taken out of a restricted account. We did repair that relation. I'm hoping in the next year or two we'd be able to apply for a grant from them again. There was fraudulent action against our account for $45,000, which we had to endure, and that messed up what little cash flow we did have. And then the severance packages over the last 2 years as well, and I won't disclose what those numbers are because that does involve personnel. So these are the situations we've had to contend with, and Barry and I and the team at the station are prepared and are living in the real world and understand that things aren't the way they used to be. And you know what? They shouldn't, especially in the way that we do conduct fundraisers and the way that we practice donor stewardship. I don't know if you guys want me to go line by line or the detail. I did. There's a lot of information. I do want to give you an opportunity to ask questions to gain an understanding. I do beseech you to take the time and look at the documents I sent you. I did spend time putting these together. I have always managed from a point of being transparent and engaging. So I'm here to answer your questions, take your suggestions, and take this first step in working together.
Thank you, Mr. Field.
Chris Corey for the stack.